This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
From the Herod family.
I mean, some people, you think you got a dyslexic family? Is that the right word? What's the word called when you're all messed up? Dysfunctional. You think your family is dysfunctional? Your grandpappy killed everyone in Merritt Island under 2 years old. And then when we get to you, you think you would have learned something from your grandpappy laying on the ground and worms eating him for breakfast. But this guy's just as bad as we're going to see. What a wicked family. It's beyond me that someone could be so evil. How do these people make to the rank of king anyway? You would think they would have gotten rid of Herod's family. Herod was not a Jew, by the way. Herod was from the same family as Jezebel was from. Here in chapter 12, again, this is not the same Herod who tried to kill the Christ child. But this was his grandson who ruled from 37 to 44 AD. Now, my King James Bible says this happened in the year 44. Guess what that means? That means Herod is about toast any day now. More on Herod. Herod, the grandson of Herod the so-called great, ran numerous debts in Rome, and he fled to Palestine. Imprisoned by Emperor Tiberius, that's Tiberius Julius Caesar, after some careless comments, he eventually was released following Tiberius's death, and he was made ruler of northern Palestine, which included Judea and Samaria. As a hedge against the shaky relationship with Rome, he curried the favor of the Jews by persecuting Christians. Now, on to chapter 12. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass those from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter too. Now this was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Passover, not Easter. Probably the greatest mistake of all time in the King James Version Bible. It's translating the Greek word Pascha as Easter. There is no Easter in the Bible. It's Passover. Also, verse 4 says that four squads of soldiers were tasked with the job of watching Peter and making sure nothing happened to him or that he didn't escape. Actually, this is four squads of four. Four times four is what? 16 soldiers to keep one man. A little paranoid, don't you think? What are you afraid of, Herod? John MacArthur says each squad contained four soldiers and rotated the watch over Peter. All the times, two guards were chained to him while the other two stood guard outside of his cell door. All right, now let's leave here this morning with a look at this miracle here. Verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. Good job, John MacArthur, called that right. Bound with two chains between two soldiers and the guards before the door, keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Get up! Arise quickly." So his chains fell off his sides. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself," that is, put your belt on, "and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. But he thought he was seeing a vision. But when they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to an iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. So let me get this straight, and let's see if God is really in this or not. Number one, Peter's in jail. Number two, four groups of four soldiers have him in custody. Last time I did the math, he's got 16 guys guarding him. Number three, he's in chains. Number four, chains miraculously fall off of him. Number five, Peter gets past not just one, but two guard posts. Number six, Peter goes through an iron gate. Number seven, the iron gate opens up just like Count Dracula's front doors. They probably creaked as well. All the while, right down the street, are all these believers gathered together, praying around the clock for Peter, the leader of the church, that he wouldn't be killed like James was the day before. All that is going on here. Imagine how he would have felt on that cold, probably cold, April night. Let me ask the question. Would you ever doubt God again if that happened to you? And yet God's done that very same thing for me in my life by preventing my death on I-95 when I fell asleep at 80 miles an hour and hit a car sound asleep on this highway. And I fell asleep 11 other times as well. And the damage on my car is a 1-inch rubber mark from the car that I hit sound asleep at 80 miles an hour. Never again will I doubt that God's got my back. As long as I live, I will never doubt ever again, as long as I live, that God's got my back and that I will go on working until my work is done here. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I don't know about you. You'd be praying for someone else up here as pastor, and you would have had my funeral already. Much as my daughter's not going to want to hear this, or my wife in the back. But I should have died on that day. But God had other plans for me. And he had other plans for Peter. And he's got other plans for you, too. Now, back to Peter, standing in the middle of the street, in awe over everything that just happened. Acts chapter 12, verse 11. Now when Peter had come to himself, I bet, he said, "Now I know of a surety the Lord hath sent his angels." You think, Gibbs? "The Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews," which was, "Die, turkey." Now, when he had considered this thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Mark is the guy that wrote the second gospel, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she did not open the door for gladness, But she ran in and told how Peter stood at the gate, and they said to her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Can't you hear her? "No, he's at the gate." They said, "No, it's his angel." So let me get this straight. You're all in here praying around the clock for Peter to be released. So the doorbell rings, and it's Pete standing there, and you say, "No, thou art mad." All right, now I got it. That's hilarious. One of the funniest stories I've ever read in the Bible. Verse 15, so they said to her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was him, meaning, "No, really, really, come and see. Peter's at the door." Verse 16, but Peter continued knocking, and that went something like this. He probably rolled his eyes. He's probably hearing all this. Here he is, after escaping all of that, and he's standing at the door, and they're saying, "Thou art mad." Or, "No, that's not him. That's got to be his angel." And here he is. "Will you open the bloody door, please?" That's what's going on here in Jerusalem. Boy, sure got faith in those. "Thou art mad." And when they opened the door, they saw him and were astonished. That's like the witch at Endor when she called up Saul from the... That's what they said when they saw Peter's face. "What art thou doing here?" "I need a vacation." But he, beckoning unto them to hold their peace, meaning, "Shh, be quiet. This place is full of soldiers and you're out here yelling. You want me to go back in there?" He, beckoning with them to hold their peace, declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go, show these things to James and to the brethren." James is Jesus' half-brother. He was the head of the church then. He was the pastor of First Baptist in Jerusalem. And he departed, and he went into another place. All right, verse 18, and someone is going to have to pay for this. Then, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and did not find him, he examined the guards, and he commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now we'll stop there for the day.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
nation shook on that very day. The land.